Let's be honest, every parent has known or they will know at some point the pain of teaching their children to say thank you, right? You know the scene. There you stand. Someone has just given your child something or said something complimentary to them, and they have kind of a dumb look on their face. And the words out of the parent's mouth are what? What do you say? See? Yeah. You've been there. Absolutely. What do you say means, of course, say thank you. And what it really means is, be sure you say the right thing. Because if you don't, we're going to have words when we get home. Say what I've taught you to say in times like this. Because it reflects on me as a parent. You know, this kind of thing can come back to bite you. There I sat one Christmas morning, some years ago, opening a gift from my dear mom. My dear mom is notorious for her quirky gifts. And imagine, as I opened this gift and pulled out a pair of Coors Beer pajamas. That's it, Gary. Thanks, Mom. I think, and as I opened that package and unveiled those pajamas, there sit all of my kids. Well, I'm trying to sound sincere in my thanks to Mom, and they all knew that I was faking it big time. So, what is it that's so important about giving thanks? Why is giving thanks important? What do you think? It's what? Okay, it's attitude of heart, says Monica. What else? We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, Donna, what else? Greg? It honors the giver. Yeah. It really, really does. We know that gratitude and expressions of thanks are important, I think, especially because it is an acknowledgement of others. It is acknowledgement of their presence. In a sense, it's an acknowledgement of their worth, their value, validation of who they are. In our lives. The definition of thankful is a conscious, the definition is conscious of a benefit that is received. And so we want our children to say thank you because it is polite. The reason that it is polite is because someone has taken the time to invest in them in that moment, whether in a small way or a large way. They have given themselves to our child at that moment, and it's the thanks is an acknowledgement of that. It's a validation of what they have done. Does that make sense? We're on the same page, yeah? Okay. You know, the Roman philosopher Cicero said that a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but it's also the parent of all the other virtues. And that's interesting, coming from a man who lived in a society in an era that was not known for great virtue. Yeah, to be thankful, to express thanks, is to be aware of others and what they bring into our lives, who they are, an acknowledgement of their presence and their value. That is what we want our kids to learn. And that is why I groped for what to say when I opened those stupid pajamas. I was not thankful for them, but I was thankful for my mom and for her perhaps silly effort in expressing her love to me in that gift. Now here's another spin on the importance of being thankful. There is a growing body of evidence. Some research has been done that has tied an attitude of gratitude with a number of positive emotional and physical health benefits. Yeah. A couple of years ago, Wall Street Journal summarized some of these findings in an article. They said, according to studies conducted over the past decade, adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money. They sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. And now that researchers are also finding that gratitude brings similar benefits in children and adolescents. Some studies show that kids who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic. They get better grades. They set higher goals. They complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches. They feel more satisfied with their friends, their families, their schools than those who are not. So the researchers concluded, you know, a lot of these findings are pretty basic. They're things that many of us learned in kindergarten or our grandmothers told us. But now we are coming up with some evidence that really backs it up. So November is Thanksgiving month. It is that month that we as a nation set aside to give thanks. And I think because giving thanks is so fundamentally important to our condition as human beings, and especially for the people of God, I want us to spend every Sunday this month looking more closely at Thanksgiving and its role in our lives as the people of God. Thanksgiving in our relationship to one another, Thanksgiving in our relationship to God, as, if you will, sort of an offering to God in this month of Thanksgiving. Now, on your seat, perhaps, or somewhere in the row, there are some bright stickies. This is going to be a little Sunday morning project. The goal is this. Let's cover these walls on the four Sundays of this month with stickies that have words of thanks and gratitude from God's people in this place. Think we could do that? Yeah, there's no limit. You could write 1,000 of them this week if you want to. And bring them with you, or you can write them now. It's a good alternative to listening to the sermon. And then be ready to stick them on the wall before you leave today. No limit, no barriers. Let's just put them all around. The only thing that I would ask is that we try to write them somewhat legibly, because this is going to be a source of encouragement to each one of us. Spend some time reading the stickies as they grow and as they cover the walls. Let's read what God's people in this place are grateful for. And let's use that as fuel for our own gratitude and sense of thankfulness. Can we do that? Yeah. We'll make sure there are plenty of stickies every Sunday. Or bring your own. Doing some reading this week about gratitude, and I read this story by a woman who wrote, she said, after a morning session at Vacation Bible School, my grandson complained to a friend that there weren't enough red crayons to go around, and he only got one cookie at snack time. Well, said his little friend, who was remembering their offering, it really wasn't too bad a deal for a dime. How much of Thanksgiving And being grateful is about perspective. Think East Coast these days. In the words of a survivor that I heard yesterday, she said, "Our electricity came back on. It was like Christmas." Yeah. So much of thanksgiving and gratitude is perspective. Where are we looking as we live our lives? What is it that fills our thoughts? So, our text this morning, probably going to be a familiar one to a number of folks. It's one that we have looked at before, at least in part. It's from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. And in this chapter, if you know Romans, if you know especially chapter 1, Paul begins to lay the groundwork for showing that there is no one on planet Earth, Jew or Gentile or any other conceivable category of person in his perspective, in his framework, there is no one that deserves anything from God because everyone has forsaken God. Paul says everyone has rebelled against God, and yet, Paul says, wonder of wonder, Paul doesn't say that's my paraphrase, and he gets to that eventually, but it's a wonder of wonder that this God who has been rebelled against by his creation offers the rebels the olive branch of peace through his son's death on the cross. Paul is amazed at the character of God that he would do this. But long before he actually gets to that good news in the letter to the Romans, he spells out the bad news, and this text is right in the middle of the bad news. It's really bad news. But there are a couple of reasons why I want us to read it this morning. I mean, first of all, I want it to be our primary text as we plot our way along and look more closely at the idea of thanksgiving in relationship to God, relationship to one another throughout this month of Thanksgiving. But also this morning, we're going to gather at this table as God's people. We're going to come to this table that represents the good news of God's gracious offer of peace to rebellious people. And I think it's always a good reminder to think about where we have been before we come to this table and celebrate and rejoice again in the good news. It is a blessed privilege. And this table stands here this morning as a reminder to us of the seriousness of the human condition apart from the death of Jesus. A reminder of the price that was paid for our sin. It's another reason why I love this text is because Paul very clearly identifies in it, at least I think it's very clearly, I'm hoping that you'll be there as well. He identifies a lack of thankfulness on the part of people, on the part of humanity, men and women, as one of the reasons that our world is such a broken place. It seems to me that if we're going to focus on Thanksgiving in this month together and better understand the importance of Thanksgiving in our lives, and it is critical, then we need to start with what I think is, in this chapter, kind of a foundation for Thanksgiving. The fundamental, if you will. Thanksgiving 101, perhaps. And so we'll explore that more together as we move along in this month. But for now, let's stand and read. And I want you to listen for the link that Paul makes between Thanksgiving and the broken condition of humanity. See if you can pick that out as we're reading along. Let's read together. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of human beings who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, that's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. My brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Did you hear it? What did Paul say? Anybody want to tell us? He put it in a negative context. What did he say? They did not give God thanks. Although they knew God, Paul says they did not glorify God, nor did they give him thanks. Heather, can we put verse 21 back up? For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave him thanks. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I think of this verse as the beginning of what I sometimes call a downward spiral in this chapter. It only gets worse from here. We've said many times here at Applewood Community Church that people are created by God and they are created for God. They are created for God to live in a relationship with Him that is eternal, and that is a relationship of love and intimacy and deep satisfaction. That is what we were made for. God made us for Himself. But that relationship, Paul says, was broken because of the insistence of the human heart to reign supreme, or to want to reign supreme over life. And it just doesn't work that way. God is God. He is the creator. And we are not. We are creatures. And yet we so often raise our fists in a rebellious posture, saying to the one who made us for himself, "I know better." Rebellion. John Stott says about this text that God's wrath, is directed not against godlessness and wickedness in general, but against the godlessness and wickedness of those people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They refuse to acknowledge who God is and who he has created them to be in relationship to him. It is not just that they do wrong, Stott says, though they know better. It is that they have made a decision to live for themselves rather than for God and others. And therefore, they deliberately stifle the truth, or any truth that challenges their self-centeredness. C.S. Lewis put it this way: there are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Your will be done," and those to whom God says, "All right then, have it your way." That's what Paul is dealing with here in this text. And verse 21 is important because it explains, at least in part, the fallen, broken world in which we live. It explains what goes on in the human heart, that despite knowing God as creator, despite knowing that we don't exist for ourselves, despite being created for God and for His glory, people choose, Paul says, to neither glorify God, glorify Him as God, nor give thanks to Him. I think it's really significant that Paul links together the lack of glorifying God and the lack of giving thanks to Him as being the primary expression of sin in humanity. Sin starts there and just escalates and takes everything downhill. Now, we have talked before about what it means to glorify God. It's a word we use a lot, but it's important to be really clear again on what it means to glorify God. The word comes from the Hebrew idea of largeness, of vastness, of place, of space, of bigness. It's the idea that God is huge. And because God is huge, He has a place everywhere. Everywhere in His creation, God is. And so, to glorify God then means to give God His rightful place in our lives. When we talk about what it means to glorify God, I want to glorify God in my life as His child. What does that mean? That means that I am constantly thinking about God in terms of His place over my life. God is big. God is vast. There is no place in my life that God does not belong. Do you understand then how this begins to be the affront to the Creator when He who belongs everywhere, when He who is intimately tied up in His creation is rejected by that creation as if He doesn't belong there? When in fact, He does. It is His. Everything in creation points to Him. So, Paul tells us about the importance of glorifying God. And sin in the human heart causes people to not give glory to God. But Paul also links the idea of not giving thanks to God. Puts the two very closely together. So turn to a neighbor this morning, and for just a minute or two, ask them, why do you think Paul is putting these two things together? What's the significance of linking them? How are they related? Glorifying God and giving thanks to Him. How do they fit? Because they really do. I mean, linguistically, this is what Paul is doing here. Ask your neighbor what they think. What do you think? Somebody want to share the brilliance from their neighbor? What do you hear? What's the link? How do they go together? Okay, part of giving thanks to God is glorifying Him, realizing the debt of gratitude that we owe. Okay, all right, what else? Don't everybody speak at once. Diane. Go ahead. Teresa. Okay. Diane wants you to talk. Would you just come up and finish this for us? That's good. Diane, you want to add? Yeah. Good, good, good. Oh, yeah, you made that too. Okay. Good. All right. Exactly, exactly. Andrew? Okay, okay. If everything that we did for ourselves, everything that we did was for ourselves, everything we have was for ourselves, then we have no need to be thankful. Good, good. Donna? Similar. Good, good, good. Okay. Good connection. Gary? Yes. As much as we may want to take credit for our good health, we all know that that can change any time. We're not ultimately in control. Those kinds of blessings, it's impossible, really, I think, for the child of God, for those who know God, to not thank Him for who He has revealed Himself to be to us, both in Scripture and in our lives. Do you see how they're two sides of the same coin? When I recognize God for who He is, and His place belongs everywhere in my life and in all of life, then everything that impacts me is from God. That is inclusive of the great blessings. That is inclusive of the hardships and the trials. And we'll come to that along the way in this month. But all of those things, they provoke in us, I think, thanks. You know, who is God to us? What are some of the ways, just real quickly, as we got to get ready for communion here, but what are some of the ways that we know God? How does God reveal Himself to us? Just say it. Creation. Okay? How does His creation evoke thanks out of us? What else? Redeemer, someone said? Do you think maybe that evokes some thanks in our life? You know, what else? How does He... Okay, in His Word, we're not left to guess. Boy, there's a cause for thanksgiving. What else? Food. Amen to that. Answered prayer. Love. Yes. The Spirit. Oh, the power that is in my life that allows me to live like Jesus and to bring glory to God in that way. We power of hardships. Oh, yeah. Don't really want to thank God for that one. But it's important. So important. Carolyn? Wow. If we don't have the bad, how can we recognize the good? Do you see how this should just permeate our lives in terms of our understanding God's place? That is giving Him glory because we recognize His due and who He is and what He deserves and where He belongs everywhere. And out of that, as we are embracing that, we begin to see Him more clearly. We begin to experience Him more keenly, more vitally. And out of that then flows thanks for who He is, for what He does, for who He has revealed Himself to be. All of this, it becomes the Christian lifestyle. And so that's my prayer as we move our way through this idea of thanksgiving. May it be more than just a month in our lives or a day in 1 month of our lives. We're striving to become a people who live and breathe thanksgiving and who offer that daily as sacrifice to Him. Let's pray together. Father, it's an enormous topic to be a people who are truly thankful, to be a people who are grateful, who express that gratitude in everything that comes from us. Oh, what a task. And yet, oh, that is what You deserve. So we ask that You would bless us in this journey, that You would open our hearts and open our minds, that we would begin to understand the importance and the depth of gratitude that You deserve from all of humanity, but especially those who are the recipients of such great grace in the Lord Jesus. There is never an excuse for us to not be thankful in all circumstances. So teach us, we pray. that our lives will be an offering of praise and thanksgiving to you. In the name of Jesus.